The following recording was made July 27, 1967, by the Tano Yukon Historical Society at the Chamber of Log Cabin Building, Fairbanks, Alaska. The speaker is Margaret Bettles Golder, daughter of an early Alaskan trader, the founder of Bettles, Alaska.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure to be able to talk here to all the Mennonite people. And I'm going to read what I have written. I am Margaret Bettles Golder, daughter of Gordon Bettles. Father was registered by Marcus Bell of the Anaconda Mining Company and went to the federal mines from Anaconda, Montana in 1885. In 1886, he went to the interior, prospected on the upper Yukon, was founder of towns, and a trader for many years. He printed the first newspaper, the Yukon Press. It was the first paper printed north of Kirkwood, property of St. James Mission at Fort Adams, located a few miles below the junction of the Yukon and Panama Rivers. First edition issued January 1st, 1894. The second was May 1st, 1894. Jules L. Prevost, editor, Gordon C. Bettles, and George W. Howard, printers. Mr. Prevost was very anxious to print hymns in the native language, and he made the remark to Father he wished there was some way in which he could have this done. Father replied he would gladly assist him in the undertaking of making out a requisition for a small Gordon press and a few fonts of type and the necessary equipment. Mr. Prevost said, "From your remark, I presume that you are a printer." Father said yes, but not following that line that had served his time at it. Mr. Prevost got busy and sent the order to the mission board. The mission board took up a collection and put it all into an outfit. When the outfit landed the following spring, Father was located at Old Station, a few miles below. Mr. Prevost came down and told Father he wished him to check it over. When he looked the outfit over, made the remark, "There is equipment sufficient to print a paper, everything but suitable type for headlines." Mr. Prevost asked if wood could be used for type. Father said, "Yes, wood is used." Mr. Prevost asked if he could have Father's dog team. "What for?" Father said. "I want to go to Anvik. Mr. Chapman, the missionary, is an expert carver of wood. If you will suggest a name, I would have the work done." Father suggested they call it the Yukon Press. This round trip was about 500 miles. Mr. Prevost returned in 12 days with a perfect piece of work. They printed two editions. For their news, they had to depend on the gunboat wireless. This, of course, was the miners and prospectors who would visit the trading post and the mission. At the time this paper was printed, there were 7 trading posts, Al Mail and Company, Panama Station, H. Cochrane, New Capiet, T.H. Beaumont, Fort Yukon, Gordon C. Bettles and Company, Arctic City, Alaska, L.N. McQuestion and Company, 40 Mile Creek, Al Harper, Fort Selkirk, and the Alaska Commercial Company of St. Michael's, Alaska. At that early date in 1894, Father grew a turnip that weighed 12 pounds at Panama Station. They printed poems by Tennyson, Whittier, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and others. Local news, agriculture, miscellaneous, news about the steamers, solution for testing gold, average temperament at Fort Adams for 1893, religious thought, Christmas festivities, list of missionaries and traders on the rivers, steamers and owners. My life. I was born at New Clutiet, known as Old Station. Gordon C. Bettles, my father, had a trading station there. We went outside in 1896 to Anaconda, Montana. I was left there with my uncle, father's older brother, and aunt until December 1900, when my mother came for me. We went to Berkeley, California. I lived there with the family until September of 1903, when father sent for me. I left for Alaska on the old St. Paul in the care of the captain. It was the latter part of October when we arrived at night in the bay, from the bay. So we had to anchor, on the lee aside behind Egg Island until morning before the tug could take us ashore. I stayed with Mr. and Mrs. Fredericks, a lower river trader, until the bay froze over. Father sent two natives with his dog team and winter clothing for me to travel in. We started on the trail about November the 20th and stayed at Tebelevin that night. We arrived at the mission at Team Replete. The missionary gave me a leather-bound, gilded-edged Bible, which I have to this day, dated November the 22nd, 1903. We stayed overnight at the telegraph station at Old Woman Mountain, then on to Pawtag on the Yukon River. We stopped 4 days at Mulatto. I had caught a bad cold, and Mr. and Mrs. Birch took care of me. They gave me gifts to give to my father for Christmas. We arrived at Cochrane's after being on the way 16 days. Father had a trading station there. The fall of 1904 and spring of 1905, we were at Fort Hamlin. There was a strike in the beaver country. Father had a store there with minor supplies. In the fall of 1905, we went down the Yukon River, caught the Florence S for the Kentishna. A small steamer was crowded with people and could only feed a few at a time. So it kept the cook busy feeding all of us. When they ran out of wood, everyone went ashore and cut cordwood. And that happened at many times. We finally reached the town of Roosevelt, which Father named. It was October before our cabin was finished. We lived in a tent, but it was warm. We left for the Crips in April. Father had a claim on Eureka Creek, tributary to Moose Creek. After the cleanup, we left in 1906 and went to Fairbanks, where I started to school, and Mrs. Fairburn was my first teacher. I skipped several grades and graduated from the 8th grade in 1909. Ours was the largest graduation class up to that time. There were 20 of us. We left Fairbanks for Canada in the fall of 1909, then spent the winter of 1910 at Pine Butte, went across the portage after the breakup of 1911 for the Kuskokwim, drifted down to Bethel, caught the steamer Alice, Captain Bernard and his wife were on board, and we went up to Russian Mission, where Father built a cabin a half mile above Russian Mission. I married Mr. W.H. Boulder at Georgetown, where he was agent for the Northern Commercial Company. He started the station at Colmacroft in 1912, account of the running out strike. My son William Henry was born there. In 1930, we spent the winter in San Francisco. We went to St. Michael's on the first boat remained at St. Margaret's at the fall of 1916 when Mr. Bailey retired. He was with the Alaska Commercial Company in 1897. Then Leon and Louis Schloss took it over and it became the Northern Commercial Company. He spent 20 years with the company. We left for San Francisco, where we made our home. Our second son, Gordon Charles, was born at St. Michael's in 1915.
Lord, I don't mention that you are an accomplished sinner, and do you please tell us a little bit more about yourself? I'm sure that this is important too.
The 1909 first acclamatory contest was on April 1st, 1909, and quite a few of us were on the program, I can say. And of all the high school pupils that I competed with, I was only in the grammar grade. I had won the first medal. And it was made out of the native gold. It was a scroll. The scroll part was of the natural gold, and the leaf that was around it was of the green gold. That was the 1909. In 1899, I believe. But the building was founded first in 1899. And Father Vernon was partner with the people that they took it, that was the picture. And I have that picture with me. Oh, I should have shown it. And you might recognize some in here. There's Joe Matthews, and there's some of the kids, and here's Father here.
Martin, where did your father
He died on May 18th, 1935.
I didn't know somewhere along the way.
And this is Father when we went outside in 1896. And this is a picture of him just a few years before he passed away. How long is making for the banjo? I did most of my singing when I moved to Los Angeles. I belonged to the civic chorus. And I sang with a group of voices, a thousand voices, when we had the first Olympics there in 1932. And sang in a gun concert work for Madame Schumann Hike with guest soloists. And I met Carrie Jacobs Bond and Irving Berlin and quite a few artists in my time doing that. And then during the baccalaureate services, with the University of Southern California, I was always asked to join the group, which was very thrilling.
Lord, you told me, I believe before, that your husband started several trading posts in this country?
Yes. When I met Mr. Gold in 1911, he was up at Georgetown on the Kuskokwim, and then in the spring of 1913, Wyatt's fine goods came in, and then that's when we started the station at Kolmakowski on account of the Antioch strike, and I believe that station remained for another year after we left, and we went outside in 1913. And then, of course, he was agent there, and we returned then to St. Michael's, where he was agent there for up until his retirement in 1916.
Well, I noticed that in one of your pictures, it says Arctic City, and your father was quite active there. Now, is Arctic City, was that a former name for Edwards?
No. No, Arctic City is up on Yukon.
Oh, I see.
Now, there's that New racket. This is just a little...
Is that lady you heard at St. Michael's?
Oh, well, I don't know of anybody that had the reindeer herd in St. Michael's. It might have been the Thin Rock Mary had heard.
Yeah,
you see.
Out on the canal.
Mm-hmm.
But he owned that herd.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to
tell
about it. I can't remember his name right now. I knew him when I was on
What year was that?
Well, he was there for many years. I know when I was a boy. I knew him in
26. I have a picture of a new racket here, and that was the first boat to kid that tied up the Yukon River in 1882 with the Shetland party. So that was before there was very much a St. Michael's. And this is a picture of the early year traders. And this is Mr. Cochran. This is Mr. Fredericks, the man that I mentioned that I stayed with when I was there. And one of these is Ledoux. And Miss Harper, and I have written it so plainly, so faintly on the back, that all their names are there.
And that picture was used in Clive over the North, the NC companies. Bible, shall we say, and his name is exactly listed, and the text just exactly as Mrs. Boulder has written there.
And this is just only some letters that I have of Mr. Boulder when he came to the country and was writing his story back home.
Well, that would be interesting.
1897.
It's Mr. Boulder's letters.
He wrote back. And these are the tissue copies.
I bet you know this man, and I can think of his name.
It wasn't Roman. It wasn't Roman.
Oh, no, Roman was very long, yes.
Was the trader in Williams? Mr. Williams was a trader there, but that wasn't too early. And Trader later became his partner, and they had a trading station over at the university. And these are the two issues of the paper.
Well, I presume you've been leaving with Mrs. Rust. And possibly we could just lay them on the table so we won't have to handle them. And just at the end of the meeting where people have an opportunity.
I don't want them to, because they're bitter. And I've had to mend them. But this is how you might see there, how this is his first edition and this is the second.
Well, I knew Williams too,
and they had to first step back a little ways.
Copies, you see. I tell you why. Because Mr. Prevost had, it was the property of his, and when the equipment came in and there was so much, the father made that remark that there was enough to print the paper. So they had a wood carving made, and this is the
but they never did any more than January 1st.
May the 1st in the same year. And there were several copies, because these aren't the only two. Those two, I believe, and the printing press, by the way, is up at the college. The printing press is, but I don't know whether it's uncrated or not. I didn't get to see it. I was up there yesterday, but of course I only went into one section.